Welcome to the workshop today. My name's Moses, and Moses Littell. I'm the executive pastor at River City Church, so I serve as Kevin Beeson's right-hand man, and as he affectionately calls me, my Moses. I think someone just came in and said today, oh, you're Kevin's Moses. Now, yeah, I'm famous because of Kevin. That is true. I just want to show you some pictures of my family to start out. This is my next slide, is my beautiful family. Here, just in the ocean this year, our four children. I've got a fifth kid, my son Darren. He just married my daughter Rebecca, and so I'm blessed to have a third son. And that's our new grandson. I'm a grandfather now, and as you can see, I'm enjoying that quite a bit. This is my grandson Ezekiel. This is him newborn, but he's 6 months old now. And then here's him now with his grandmother. He looks really happy with her. So yeah, it's funny being grandparents. We attended my son's graduation recently. Our son Caleb, he graduated from Washington State University. So you know, there's 4,000 people in this auditorium, and I thought this is the perfect moment to give my wife a compliment. So I said, I think you're the hottest grandma in the room. She didn't smile for some reason. It didn't quite go off like I thought it would, but I thought it was true. I thought it was a good compliment. So we're enjoying being grandparents, just enjoying the adventure of God that he has us on. It's just been wild. The more we say yes to Jesus, the more it's beyond anything we could think or imagine. The more we tap into the Holy Spirit, the more he just surprises us. And it's better than anything, you know, God's story. You know, just to start out, we're going to talk about strategy. I really believe that God has given me a kind of a downloaded, some things really crystallized. And it's funny because I had a strategy talk, and some of it you're going to see that same content. But I felt before I came that God told me, I want you to talk about story that's driven, or strategy that's driven by my story. That the story of God, and so I'm thinking about that, and I'm processing that, and sitting in the first session, and then Yao just goes off on the story of God, on the missional big story of God, and how he's inviting us into that story, and I just thought, oh good, I got it right. Looks like God's actually trying to say something here, and so that was a nice confirmation, but I want to talk about story and how it drives strategy, how God's story and the unique story he is telling in our churches is actually helps us to discover the strategy. And I think this is going to be a good way to kind of have a organic feel, a story feel to strategy. Maybe some of you are like, I've never found strategy to be fun. When we get to the tactical stuff, I like the dream and the vision. And I think this is a good way to translate that, to really help us bridge from the unique dreams that God has put in the people in your congregation and ministry, the unique dreams, the placement that he has your church in a community to live out God's story, and how to actually have a strategy for that, that works, that actually we get boots on the ground and we're not just have all this complexity and lack of clarity. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. You know, I started ministry at the age of 17. So off and on, I've been doing this for a while. I was an associate youth pastor at the age of 17. My very first year in college, I was put in charge of a college ministry. I had no idea what I was doing. They made a big, I don't know what they were thinking, but they put me in charge of something. I had no idea what I was doing. And I've pretty much served in every position in church world. I've been youth pastor, college pastor, children's pastor. I run operations and executive pastor, a short stint as a church planter. And I can tell you, I understand the stress and the pain that you can feel when you're trying to do stuff and you're not operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, when you're not living out the God dream that he has for you, when you're just trying to make it happen, right? The grace of God is not fueling what you're doing. So I've been there where I'm not tapped in and synced with the story of God. And some of those times, I had really good strategy, but a bad story. Right? With good strategy, it still is a bad story. It's the wrong story. And so I've learned over time that there's a unique story that God shows, this unique path he's taken us on that is filled by the Spirit that gives us joy. And then he downloads his wisdom to us to live out that strategy. I've also felt the pain of having a God dream but it falls to the ground because there's not good wisdom and strategy behind it. And that's a point of pain many of us as leaders have felt, where we know it's God, yet the implementation, it doesn't get activated in the lives of people the way we thought it would. And the great thing about strategy is it lays some train tracks down for that train to run on, so that we don't run out of train tracks. And so we need God-empowered strategy, God-empowered story. And so here's my first point. I'm going to jump right in. Great church strategy understands the big story that God is telling on the earth. Okay, if you want to have strategy that works, it needs to sync up with the story that God is telling on the earth. God's story is what makes sense of our lives and all of history. Now, this is really important because you may say, this is super deep and theological. What are you talking about? What does this have to do with strategy, Moses? But see, we all are living in a story. There's a narrative that's driving our lives. And out of that, we derive meaning, we interpret that story, and from that, we create strategy and we live out that life. Maybe it's organic strategy, but we all are living out systems and strategy in our life, whether they're good or bad. And God has a story he's telling on the earth, and when we sync up with that, it works. And so I love this quote. It says, before you answer, what must I do? You must first answer the question of what story do I find myself apart? Do I find myself a part of God's story? And y'all did such a good job. I actually took some of my notes out. I'm like, I don't need to lay this deep theological foundation for this, because just go listen to his first talk like 10 times, right? I need to listen to it a bunch of times. But here's the thing. God is telling a big story of mission in the earth, and he talked about it, but it starts in creation with his original design. He originally shows us, he has a place where his presence is with his people, and he empowers them to live out a mandate and to begin expand in the earth. He puts them on mission. You see Abraham, y'all talked about that, where he was blessed in order to be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. We see Jesus coming and fulfilling that as the great redeemer. We see him coming, being sent by the Father and the Son sending the Spirit, and then the Spirit sending his church. We see that God truly is a missional God, a missionary God, sending his church everywhere. And so we see that God is telling a big story of missional living for his people. We also see redemptive history, and I just want to put up a slide here. The sweep of God's story, creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. When we look at creation, it's important for us to understand this reveals to us God's original design. And our strategy, we want to line up with that. We also see the fallenness and the brokenness. And what's great about understanding the story from the point of fallenness, which you might think, well, how do you do that? When you see the implications of the fall where God has placed you, when you see the brokenness and the pain and the hurt that is a result of the fall, it's actually not just problems to be solved, it's opportunities to bring redemption. It's opportunities, it's clues. When you look out in your community and you see the brokenness, the sin, the oppression, the suffering that people are in, and the idols that our culture worships, you know, so often as Christians we can go, oh, look at that. Those sinners are sinning again, right? As if that's some big surprise. But we need to look and understand that where their hearts are gateways of opportunity for redemption to come. And so we need to look at the fallenness with eyes wide open and understand what's happening around us, because God's got a redemptive plan for that. And of course, redemption, Jesus coming and bringing the solution. And then we see that we live in the time of history now, from redemption to restoration or new creation. Now, when people live in one of these realms, and they don't consider the rest, did you know that actually the story that you're living can be warped? That the strategy that you come up with how you're going to approach your context can be wrong? And so we see here that we live in the time from redemption to full restoration. Does the story that God is telling in you and through your church, does it just breathe? Is it rooted in the idea of redemption? Redemption coming to the fallenness of the world and where God has placed you. And so we want to align with that. Okay, and so that's the big picture. Of course, there's much more to it than that. Let me go back here and just stay there for a second. So here's what we're going to do today. This is a workshop, so I hope you have a pen in hand. If anybody needs a pen, I think Kevin was grabbing some. Did anybody need a pen? We're going to do some exercise. Just raise it. Keep your hand raised if you need one. That's right. Yeah, no kidding. So what we're going to go through today, I'll just disclaimer, if we were to work with a church on this, it would take, 2 to 3 days to actually come up with these initiatives and stuff. We're just going to do what we call Blink. I think there's a book called Blink. Kevin talks about blinking a lot, but we're just going to do, so those of you who are processors and you think I got to get it perfect and right, I'm just releasing you from that. You do not. You just get to be creative and have fun today, okay? You just, whatever, we're going to gut these things, right? We're just going to think them through and blink them, and then you've got lots of time when you go home to process it and think more about it. So what I want you to do, I literally want you to take 1 minute, okay? And I just want you to think about the implications of the fall in your context, where God has called you to serve. Okay, so I want you to just write as many things as you can see. I would focus in on areas of sin, suffering, and worship, false worship. What are the idols in your culture? Because those point to the gateways of the heart and people. So just real quick, in 1 minute, write out just some of the implications of fallenness, of sin, of brokenness, of suffering in your context. What does your city worship? I mean, if it's something good like sports or, right? It can be a good thing that's just taken their heart instead of God. These are major clues for us. What's the major suffering that you see in your city? The points of pain, the points of brokenness. Okay, so in the next column, we're just going to do this again. We're going to blink it, but where do you see opportunity for redemption in those areas? Where are the opportunities in those things? What are ways that God could be calling your church to bring the redemptive message, the grace of God, the love of God? Absolutely, I can give an example. So, as a matter of fact, I just heard a story of a church that recognized that it was actually a sports deal. They looked at the families and went, they are so into sport, they worship sports. With their kids, they just drive their kids on performance in sports. It was an area of actually worship for that community. And so rather than railing against sports, which is a bad approach, right? Sports aren't bad. They said, why don't we as a church adopt a football team? And so they went in and they actually brought redemption to that area. They adopted a whole football team for a year. They supplied meals at every practice. They bought uniforms for the people who couldn't afford it. They mentored some of the young men who didn't have fathers. So they saw a point of brokenness and they brought redemption to it. So that would be one example that I just read about. Maybe your area has a lot of teen moms. It's a point of brokenness, of suffering, of pain, a result of sin, and God's calling you to tell a redemptive story in that area. Okay, so like I said, we can do more of this at home, but we need to move along. So first of all, looking at the fall and redemption and moving people towards new creation and Jesus, we want to understand that context. Secondly, church strategy is how God will tell a vibrant, unique story in your church ministry. The key words there are how and unique. Right, this isn't cookie-cutter Christianity. I understand. I mean, I can read a mission statement or whatever, and I understand exactly probably where you studied as far as purpose-driven or not. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? But here's the thing. There's a uniqueness to God's call upon your church. Your mission has a unique feel to it. Your church is not like every other church. God has something he wants you to do that no other church can do. And so that uniqueness is key. But strategy is the how. It's the how. See, God, the vision and mission is the what. When you get, that's God's story for you. That's the what. That's what God wants to do through you. But the how is the strategy. How is that story going to be told in your church? Is it Holy Spirit breathed? Right? See, God is just as interested in giving you empowered strategy and wisdom as he is in giving you empowered story and mission. Sometimes we think one is more spiritual than the other, but that is not true biblically, and that is not true as we live out our lives. Look at this quote by Will Mancini. I love this. He says this, "You must show the way and answer how are we doing it. Strategy is the process or picture that shows how the church will accomplish the mission on the broadest level. Strategy shows the way. It's the rhythm of your church body. It is a pattern of participation. Strategy is your congregation's operational logic. Clear strategy helps you do fewer things with better quality so your people can do less church activity and live more for Jesus. Missional leaders embrace strategy as a missional map. Strategy is the how." So God has a missional story, a unique story that he wants to tell in your context, in your community. He wants to tell it through your church empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he wants to tell that in a way that's activated in the lives of your people so that they live out the story of God. Okay? And so we see it's the how that we do it. So how do we start to go from God's big story? See, we're kind of narrowing down to God's unique story in your church. How do we do that? We need to understand that that your church does not just have a story. God's kingdom story has a church. Okay, your church does not just have its story, but God's we're talking about kingdom advancing these few days, right? How does the kingdom of God advance? The kingdom of God is telling a story that he is using your church as an instrument. And so your church has been invited into God's story. Ed Stetzer, who I studied under, he's a missional thinker in North America, probably one of the greatest ones. I got the opportunity to study under him. He says it this way. He says, your church is called to be a missionary in your community. Think of your church itself as a missionary. What is the missional call on your church? So if you're thinking like a missionary, then you begin to understand what is God's call for you? What is the unique thread of that? Go ahead and go to that next page. It's really, there's a church book, it's been around for a long time, called Breakout Churches. Breakout Churches by Tom Rainer. And what they did is they studied a bunch of churches, not where that were the biggest churches, right? Not just about growth, but that were the healthiest churches that were actually, had an ongoing process of living out the story of God in their community. They were making disciples that were maturing, and their people were living missionally wherever they were, in their jobs, in their education, wherever they lived. And so they wondered, what were the keys to these churches? What were the things that stood out about all of them? And it's pretty fascinating, but they actually found that these churches were aligning with God's unique story for them because the three of these things came together. They understood the community that they lived in. They saw the needs. Okay? That's looking at the fall. It's looking at what's there. What are the needs? They understood the unique shape of their congregation. There were passions and dreams that God had put in their people. There were unique giftings. They noticed a bunch of people had a passion for this area, or we have a lot of people with experience in this, or the gift mix is pointing us this direction. They understood the shape of their congregation, and the leadership had a passion for something. The leadership were passionate about it. When those three things came together, they said they were the key indicators of breakout churches. When those three factors come together. So us understanding the uniqueness of God's story for our church, we need to look at these three things carefully. It's interesting because Will Mancini, who wrote Church Unique, best book by far out there on discovering your unique mission and vision for your church. By far, he's just amazing at helping churches get on mission. But he did a study, and amazingly, he came up with the same three. He calls them something a little bit different, but he called it the local predicament, right? What are the unique needs and opportunities where God has placed you? The collective potential. What's the resources and capabilities that when we come together that God brings to that? And then he called it apostolic esprit. What are the particular focuses that most energize and animate our leadership? He found that when those three things came together, these churches thrived in telling the story of God in their community. So if we look at those things, we can begin to discover what God has for us. So we're going to do another blank exercise, right? Discerning the unique story of your church. Oh, I never put the other one up, did I? Yeah, there's that one. Church Unique by Will Mancini. And I think I put it on the last page. Okay, so what I want you to do, and you may just take it off the previous exercise or whatever, maybe that's clues for you. I want you to really, let's dig a little deeper here. And what I want you to do is think about that needs opportunities area again. In your local context, what are the unique needs and opportunities? And maybe, we'll just do this for 1 minute. If anything else, as I've been talking, has come to mind, maybe just write those in there. It's similar to looking at the fallenness, right? But there may be something new that God's just speaking to you there. And you can go home and figure this out. Let's just write down a few things. I can feel the A-types just stressing. I need to get this perfect. Okay, what stands out to you, just from your gut right now, what stands out to you as far as the uniqueness of your congregation? What are their gifting experiences, things that are in their heart that you've noticed a lot of people talking about, where God's placed them? Sometimes as leaders, we want to drive it just from our passion, but we want to see how God is and the Holy Spirit are speaking to the people in the congregation. The Holy Spirit's talking to every one of them. One church that I read about had just a ton of educators. They realized when they actually analyzed it, we have so many teachers and principals and educators. So they recognized God was calling them to work in the area of education, and they ended up creating this whole mentoring program to help mentor those who were struggling with education. So sometimes your congregation is a clue. I know you're trying to write while I talk, but. You can ask my wife. It's sometimes hard to get me to stop talking. Let's look at that third column. And maybe this is you. Maybe you're writing, what energizes you? What's your passion? Think about what burns in your bones. You just can't stop getting excited about it. What animates? Or maybe you're thinking more of the leadership of your church. But just write out some passions. It's important not just to put down the things you think are the right answer, but really put what excites you. Couple more questions to consider. I'm encouraging you to take this as homework, but sometimes we're afraid to ask this question. We think it's prideful, but what can your church do better than 1,000 other ones? What's something that God's called, you're like, man, there's just a strength there. And I'll give you an example. River City Church, our church, everywhere I go in the community, if I say I'm a pastor at River City Church, they ask me, what do you do? Or whatever, however the conversation goes, almost without fail, they say, oh, I've heard that's a really good church. You know, if I was going to go to a church, that's where I would go. Interesting. And they say, I've heard it's really accepting there. I've heard it's really loving there. And we'll have other pastors of churches even tell us, you know, we've just heard you guys are just really good at loving people where they're at. It's a strength that we have. And it's not that other churches can't do it in our community. It just is something that really stands out. So what is something that's unique about your church? Maybe you want to finish this statement, because all of our purpose statements, mission statements, vision statements say something about probably glorifying God, making disciples, right? Something like that. But our church exists to glorify God and make disciples by dot, dot, dot. Doing what? What's that unique picture for your church? So just some other ways to kind of stir the thinking here. We're going to keep moving forward. You can fill these in as you, because I want to get to our final exercise. I want to make sure we land this. So those are some things to just be processing and considering. Go ahead and go to that next area. Discover what is not your story. This is maybe the hardest for leaders. We can be so positive and so wanting to just be good at everything, but there are things that God has called other churches to do that he has not called your ministry or your church to do. And sometimes saying no to things is the hardest. So I like to say it this way. What's the strategic no that sets you up to live out the resounding yes of your story? What's the strategic no that sets you up to live out the resounding yes of your story? There are things that you don't need to do, that God has not called you to do, that you need to say no to. And so go ahead, take a couple minutes and write down some areas that might come to mind. We look at sacred cows at River City Church. Okay, are these things just things we do because we've always done them, right? Maybe it's a ministry that you, the leadership is holding it up and propping it up, but there's no, God's not there anymore, or the people aren't passionate about it, and you got to reassess and think, is that an area that we're still called to? You're not called to do everything well, but the things God has uniquely called you to do well, you can only do those if you say no to the right things. And so saying no is incredibly important. What are some things that come to mind? That may be something for you to think more about. Don't skip doing that. That's the thing leaders always skip. I'm just telling you, we always, oh, we can do it, right? God's with us, we can do it. And that leads to burnout, that leads to a congregation that's wearied down by programs and activities. We want to free our people up to live out being disciples. Okay, and so let's move to our third and final point, and then we're going to do a final exercise. Effective strategy must be activated, lived out in the daily rhythms of people. So you see that we're narrowing down here. We're going from God's big story to the unique call of your church. And it isn't strategy that works unless it's actually lived out. And I don't know how many times I've put something on paper, but it never gets into the hearts and the lives, right? How many dreams have I had where I thought, that would be really cool? We want to move from dreams to doing. And good strategy is execution. Another way to put it is execution is strategy. Good strategy actually gets done. And I know that sounds like, you know, I know that's not some brilliant statement, but the truth is, we got the dream and the vision, we create a strategy for it, and then it sits there, and we never get it done. I'm blessed to have my wife Cindy in my life, who is a get-it-done person, like nobody's business, right? I'm like making plans, and she's like, I already got that done and the 10 other things on your list. Don't worry about it, right? She's amazing. So I often will ask her, how would you get this done? How would you actually get boots on the ground? If it's not lived out in the lives of people, it's not good strategy. And so let's look at a couple areas that could be clues for us of how we figure out how this gets lived out. One is daily discipleship, right? And what is your discipleship pathway or process? Is it clear? Does it work? What are the discipleship characteristics you want to see in your people? What are those things you want to see lived out in your people? And so we see here that success is measured by the key discipleship characteristics lived out in the individual stories of your people. I just wrote down a few that I was thinking about. Do your people love one another well? Do they flourish in loving one another, right? Do they love God? Do they have a heart of compassion for the lost? Do they walk in grace-activating humility? Are they willing to lay it all on the line for King Jesus? That was just a few just off the top of my head, just thinking about what would be some things I'd look for in a maturing disciple. Now, churches work on these things. Some people call them life, missional life marks or discipleship marks or key care. And it should be something that you can actually have a conversation with someone and you can kind of assess where they're at in them. It should be things that you identify and you've actually said, these are key characteristics. So it's good to live on mission, but you know what's really good? To be the kind of people that Jesus wants us to be as we live on mission. What's in the heart? Right, not just accomplishing and doing, but the kind of people he is making us to be. Okay, and so we want that daily discipleship, those rhythms. Let's move to that next one, missional rhythms. And this could be kind of under the umbrella of discipleship, but what characteristics mark a person on mission? In your congregation, you say, you know, a person is on mission when their lives have these marks, these characteristics. As something, as we drive the missional story of God and it's activated in the lives of individuals, we have to be able to recognize and measure, what does a disciple look like? What does it look like for them to be on mission? One church that I was looking at, they said, two of the characteristics they came up with is, we want our people to be a visible expression of Jesus, and we want them to have the missional heartbeat of God. And said, we're going to look for that. We're going to figure out how to have conversations with them and ask how that's being lived out. Okay, so those are some other, we're kind of honing in on some clues for our church. Like I said, this is something that you could take 2 to 3 days to work through as a team. Let's see here. So what I want to do is go down to that final exercise. I want to talk about getting this activated. What does this actually look like so that it works? I said that this would be a workshop about strategy that works. And I just want to review. If it's going to work, it has to be God-breathed. It has to come from his story, right? If it's going to work, it has to understand the unique story God's telling in your church. It's going to work. We have to understand how it's lived out in the individuals, how we can actually process that and talk about that and assess that. And then finally, and we talked about this, it actually has to get done. So I'm going to walk you through a process that we're learning. We don't have it mastered at River City Church, but we're learning. We've taken it from the book called The 4 Disciplines of Execution. Okay? And first I'm going to give you an example, a really just simple life example so that you can kind of see where we're going. And I'm just going to use the area of health. Okay, let's say that a person has decided, I really believe the story God has told for my life is to be a healthier person, to be physically healthy. And what they're going to do is say, okay, my story is not to be unhealthy. These are false narratives that have driven my life, and maybe that's come from performance, maybe that's come from all kinds of things. And so they identify this, and they say, and what they do is then they go, you know, how would I know if that's happening? Well, I'm going to measure my weight, and maybe I'm going to measure my body composition. That's going to be what we would call a lag measure. It's a measure that's after the fact. That doesn't make it happen, but we know if it's happening. Okay? But that no matter how many times they get on that scale, the scale doesn't cause them to lose weight. The scale doesn't cause them to get healthier, to maybe put on more lean muscle, to lose fat. It just tells them where they're at. It has no ability to produce, right, that effect. And so what you want to look at is what we call lead measures. Lead measures are the things that actually cause that to happen. Oh, okay, so I need to maybe watch my nutrition some. I need to move more. I need to exercise more. You know, all those things. I need to sleep better at night. And a person who would be doing this would actually create a little bit of a scoreboard on that and say, you know what? I'm gonna set a meeting with myself or my accountability group once a week, and we're just going to talk about how are you doing in the areas of living out this story that God has for you. How are you doing in your sleeping? How are you sleeping at night? How's your nutrition levels? How are you doing in your exercise? How are these things going for you? Are you experiencing the grace of God? Is that area informed by the gospel? Is this something God's Spirit is breathing into, or are you just off trying to do it on your own? We have a conversation about that. All right, so you have these things you talk about, and hopefully you have ongoing accountability in that area of health. And finally, you continue to do that over and over again, right? You work on that. You have focus on that area until you begin to see the needed change. So that's just a really simple life example. So let's talk about this in church world. The first thing that you need to do is create a list of priority, we'll just call them initiatives for lack of a better word. Now, we're thinking about everything we just covered. We're thinking about God's story. We're thinking about the uniqueness of our congregation. We're thinking about the gifting, right? We're thinking about the needs. We're thinking about all these things. We're asking God to inform this list, but we want to have a list. We believe the next steps for our church are these things. You want to create that list, and you want to put it in priority. I just listed some. Maybe it's to pray. Maybe it's just prayer and discernment. Maybe you need to have a season of weeks or a couple months where you just pray as a congregation. You go, Holy Spirit, we need you to breathe life into the story you're telling again. Will you? And you begin to discern. Maybe it's an initiative in knowing your context, where you actually begin to study and think like a missionary in your context. You know what's going on. Maybe it's discovering your congregation's shape. Maybe it's understanding the leadership's passions. All that could lead to maybe one initiative that's, we just need to discover our unique story. And we're going to kind of work on all those one at a time. Maybe it's the need to focus your story. You're doing too much. Your people are burning out. You recognize it. You recognize it's not working, and you need to actually figure out what your strategic no is. Maybe you're going to work on those daily discipleship pieces or those missional rhythms. Really hone down what you're looking for to identify those characteristics. I like this one, a hero initiative. How do we make Jesus the hero of our story? How do we equip our people to be everyday heroes? All right? I think there's a book called Hero Makers. I haven't read it yet, but I want to read it. But how do we as leaders equip our people to be heroes in the story God's called them to live in? I think that would be a really great one. Tell the story. How will you tell the testimony of God's story in your church? Maybe the story is happening and nobody knows about it. We've been talking about that a lot at River City Church, but it's like people are like, is anything happening around here? You know, and you're like, oh my gosh, I could tell you like 30 things. God is working in his people, and it's just figuring out how to tell the story of God in your church so that people live it out. The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Maybe figuring out a leadership pipeline, Sunday services, preaching, kids ministry, worship, maybe activating your small groups to really live missionally and to make disciples. There could be all kinds of things. But as you've been sitting here, I'm just trusting that the Holy Spirit is starting to percolate some things to the surface for you, that you're thinking, you know, out of all those, I would pick these three for our context. I would, my priority would be this one and this one and this one. And maybe for you, you're like, I just want to start at the beginning. We just need to start praying and understanding where God's placed us. And we want to, and you just take them one at a time. But here's the key to the whole thing. We, with strategic planning and plans, we make them so complex We're trying to run our whole church and everything we do through this strategic plan, and it becomes so complex that it bogs down. And the key to this process is to do one initiative at a time. I'm telling you, it will change everything. And you'll feel like, man, we really should be working on those other things. They're important too. You'll feel the drive to grab those, but I'm telling you, you will get more done more quickly with more effectiveness if you pick one. So choose one. Choose one, pick the top one, or if you're not sure, just pick one of the top ones that you have. And then what I am challenging you to do is to only work on that one and make it your wildly important goal for your church. Okay, figure out what success looks like for that, okay? What are you going to measure? What are those lag measures that you go, yo, we're starting to get there? But also come up with some ideas for lead measures. If we do these four things, that's going to drive that. That's going to make that happen for us. Put together a team. It could be existing staff. It could be elders. It could be a new team you put together. Create a scoreboard for that team where you actually look at and see how you're doing. You measure how you're doing in that initiative. And then have ninja focus. Ninja-like focus. You have a weekly meeting that you meet 30 to 60 minutes every week. It is a non-negotiable meeting. At this meeting, you do not talk about the whirlwind of ministry. You do not talk about anything else happening at the church. You focus your team on this one initiative. You pray into it. You talk about it. You brainstorm it. Because we know that the whirlwind is always there. Right? There is an endless stream of people that are coming into our churches with need. There's endless need out in our communities. But you need to focus this team on this one initiative. Do not cancel this meeting and have accountability like crazy. Raise the bar really high. So everybody who leaves that meeting, they know exactly what they're going to do that week to work on that initiative. They know exactly what their assignment is. And they know that they show up at the next meeting and they're going to have it done, unless like somebody died, right? But hold the bar high and people will rise to it. They will rise to it. Set a very clear weekly expectation, and you just keep working on this until the initiative is done. So for example, maybe you feel like, and this is one that's kind of on my heart right now, that you want to really understand your local context. You want to really go in and figure out what is actually happening in our community. What are the real needs of our community? And for me, I've got some things like go talk to community leaders. Go ask them what they would see as the top problems. Go begin to find out where the most crime is happening. Find out where the most suffering is taking place. And begin to study this, right? This may take several weeks or a couple months to really get in and work on this initiative, but maybe it's, you know, you begin to go, you know, I don't know if I really know my community very well. God's placed me there, but I don't know if I really have the heartbeat of what's happening where God has placed me. So, and maybe you just work on that and work on it until it's done. And when it's done, give all glory to God and pick the next thing on the list. I'm telling you, you will get, if you take 10 of them and work on it at once, it'll take you forever and it'll bog down. You'll never get anywhere. If you take one at a time and work on it, then you will get more done in 1 year than you could ever believe. And it's just the way that we work. We need focus. Yeah, Ian. We did, yeah. Yeah.
Can you
sure.
Touch on that? 'Cause that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we, and of course we've got Kevin the artist, so he created a big, huge scoreboard for us, and we put it up on the wall. And so our initiative was we had to go mobile as a church. We were moving into a high school, and we had to figure out how to set up for our congregation every single week and tear down, right? There was a ton of detail to that. And so we actually identified, and it was our staff meeting. And, our staff meeting was normally like we do a devotional together. We talk about everything that's happening. We calendar. We do those things. But Kevin carved out for us 30 minutes at the beginning of every staff meeting where we didn't talk about any of the rest of that. All we did was work on how are we going to go mobile? How are we? And for us, there's a whole God story behind that, right? God's moving us out of our building into a bigger space where we reach other people in the community, where we have more space to invite them into the story God's telling. There was a whole God story that was driving that, right? We knew God was calling us to do it. And we, every week, you know, we weren't perfect, but we came and we cranked on that thing. And Kevin was so great at keeping us on that, right? And what are, you know, so Ryan had his piece with worship and media he was working on. What are the things we need for that? What's the equipment that we need? What's going to be our outreach strategy? How are we going to let people know we've changed location so they can find us? Not to get into all the details. But it really took laser-like focus. Because there were other things we could work on. And of course, we had a deadline, so that helped. We were going to move. We'd already signed the contract, so we were going to move. But we used this method to really focus in. We've used another method called StratOp. That's strategy and operation coming together. It's a way to get strategy into execution. We've used some of the tools from that to help us create some key initiatives for our church. I think that one of the things we need to work on is getting it focused onto maybe one at a time. We have the whole list now, and so we want to potentially focus that a little more and really create those scoreboards for each of those. And so for us, the temptation is always to do too much. You know, I love our team because we think with God we can do anything. But we bite off big chunks, and sometimes we got to step back and just see what is God telling through our church. Yeah, so thanks for that, Ian. Yeah, that's a great example. Yeah. Okay, so do you feel like you just got fire hosed? It's a lot. Now, my email is up on the screen, and I sincerely mean this. If you want help to walk through this and to kind of process this and talk out loud, I'd be glad to help. I'd absolutely love to serve you in your church, have some phone conversations about it. This is normally a process you would probably, and there's other tools, you know, that I didn't even include because I knew we didn't have time, right? But I'd be glad if you have questions or you want to talk more about it, I'd be glad to help with that. This would normally probably take 2 to 3 days to really take a team through this, a step at a time, and really hone it down. But I just wanted to give you an overview today. You don't create a whole strategic plan for your church in, obviously, 45 minutes. So, but that's, yeah. Everybody's like, what are you talking about? Yeah, so before we end, any questions? Just something that really you stood out to you. You're like, I didn't understand that part, and it's okay if you or you want to challenge something or whatever. I'm comfortable, yeah, in my own skin here. So, yeah. How do you prioritize? Right. Yeah. Right. How do you pick, right, of all the broken, right, exactly. And that's true you start thinking about globally and global missions, it just gets even bigger. The list just gets even bigger, right? So the question is, how do you create a priority out of those things? And so what I want to encourage you towards, and I kind of already hit it, is obviously this thing has to be God-breathed and steeped in prayer, right? There's a place God's uniquely called your church, and you can't meet all those needs, but you can maybe meet one of them really, really well. So first of all, where is God calling you? Secondly, that I would encourage you towards those fears, because maybe there's a lot of need, but does the leadership have a passion for all those areas? Is God always talks to the leadership, right, as they press into him? So is it the heartbeat of the leadership? And then once again, you're seeing the need part, but how does that cross over with the leadership, and then are there giftings, resources to meet that? And when the three of those come together, it's pretty profound. It gives you focus, and it maybe doesn't totally answer the question, but maybe it narrows down for you, and you continue to press into God. The other thing that I would just encourage is to walk around your city and pray. I mean, not to over-spiritualize it, but we want to go on missional walks with God. And ask God, what are you calling me to here? And there will things that'll jump out to you. I am telling you, it sounds funny, But the thing that God has spoken to me the most about is the areas of idolatry, where I see the leanings of people's hearts into what they worship. Because here's the truth, God's made every human being to be a worshiper. It's just an issue of what their heart is pointed at. But to understand that means you get a pulse of that person's life and even the community's life, because you understand what matters to them. And you go to where they're at and what matters to them, and you, obviously, the goal is that they become full worshipers of God, right? But that's they're a long ways away from that. So what do they care about? What's the idolatry? Those are gateways to the heart. And so ask God to show those things to you, you know. But we really can't do this without the Holy Spirit, I know. But we really can't. I mean, I can go off with a great book or knowledge or whatever and learn a lot about strategy, but unless God's breathing it and driving it, we're just spinning our wheels. We need the voice of God and the grace of God to drive what we're doing. Yeah. Any other questions? Are you more excited about strategy or less? Oh, I know it's a lot. It's like I've been learning about this for 10 years, all in one talk. Okay, I'm going to close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for the group of people here. Holy Spirit, I am asking you. I'm asking you to come and open up the windows of heaven. I'm asking you to breathe new life. I'm asking you to activate churches in the story you're telling in their church, in their congregation. God, I'm asking you to just bring even refreshment and creativity, Lord God. I'm praying for a download of wisdom and strategy, God. Lord, you love to do that on our behalf. So I'm asking, God, that you would do this deep and good work in your people who you love. God, I thank you for your presence. I pray that if nothing else, we would just go where you are and where your presence is taking us, God. And we're going to be doing just great, God. So we help us to go where you're going. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you.